My guests today are artists, educators, arts advocates, just fun people, Willie Ray Parrish and Becky Hendrick, who are retired and preparing to leave our area. But there will be plenty of you left behind, including a brand new work here on the UTEP campus. Tell me about the work, how it's put together, and when will the actual unveiling take place?
They haven't set an exact date yet, but we're told around May 5th, 5th, 6th, or something like that.
Okay. Where exactly is it?
In front of the UTEP Library and slightly to the south.
Okay.
So if you were driving in front of the UTEP Library, just go slightly beyond and on your right. There's a beautiful grassy knoll there that just sort of gives way down to I-10. You can see it from I-10 if you're in that Schuster area looking toward the library.
A great backdrop.
It really is. And from up at the library level, you're looking at it against the blue sky. But from down at I-10, you're looking at it against the green grass. It's a completely different look.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. And what is the name of the work?
It's called Millennium Marker. I made it right at the turn of the 21st century. And I thought of it sort of as a marker for the transition from one century to the next. It's about 15 feet tall. And the top 5 or 6 feet turn in the wind. And I don't think it stopped turning since we installed it about 8 days ago.
Not at this time of year.
This time of year, it'll be turning.
Yes, you better be on contract to come back and replace the sucker now and then. It'll screw itself into the ground around here some springs. Yeah, both of you are leaving numerous works in private collections. Of course, your work is, Becky, a bit more portable as a painter. But you, Ray, have many pieces installed outdoor metalwork. A lot of private collectors, too, have enjoyed picking up your work. How do you feel about the fact that you have exhibited and sold a lot more outside El Paso than here?
Good question. The 80s and 90s were just really, really good for artists, particularly for painters and for sculptors, too. We were represented in Dallas and in Houston and in Santa Fe, and Ray had a show in Seattle, and it was just nonstop.
And we had a show in Orlando, Florida.
Oh,
and that's
true.
We were showing literally from coast to coast.
Yeah, that's true. But back then, too, there was a lot of government money for the arts. We had nonprofits. We had the Bridge Center for Contemporary Art, which was fabulous. The museum, of course, was and still is a very dynamic place, but it had a real particular – there was a moment where baby boomers were sort of – there was a lot of vitality to the visual arts back in the 80s and 90s. A lot of critical writing. I did some of it. Richard Barron did some of it. We had two newspapers at the time, and I wrote a weekly column for the newspaper. So it was really just a different era.
But what I love about the way your lives have been sculpted, at least from my limited perspective, is that some people continue to pursue a certain level of activity as though if that were to ebb, it would somehow spell a loss or a failure on their part. Other artists, and in part perhaps because you both had such strong teaching careers and other things going on in your worlds, you're both continuing to produce, but you also started to curve back some of that energy into the local community through the Border Arts Residency. You became not just producing artists, you reinvested so much in new artists. That, to me, is an art form. That's a creative, really high-level consciousness going on there.
And it comes from our understanding the difficulty of being an artist. It's just not an easy thing to do. I've watched outstanding UTEP students graduate from UTEP and then go to a great graduate school, and then it's just too difficult.
It's so hard to
make a living that they drift away. Now, that's not to say we hadn't had several that are very successful artists that came from UTEP. Adrian Esparza, incredible success doing commissions in Miami, Florida from El Paso. Alejandro Almanza, who is the next Border Art resident coming in, is part of Art 21, the video series about 21st century artists. He's already one of those guys, and
his time between New York City and Mexico City.
But the validation that you've provided here, I mean, you've created a whopping golden checkmark at the Border Arts Residency for a lot of resumes. And who's taking it over?
Well, Chris Bevins will be the landlord and maintaining the property. The El Paso Community Foundation will take a bigger role in terms of sort of directing it. I mean, I've had the title of director, And there isn't a lot to do during a residency, but between residencies, there's a number of things to do. You have to sort of get the word out there about it and get the applications in. We select the selection committee, artists around the world who will look at the applications for us and sort of rank them top to bottom and send them to us, and we call references. And also, when an artist arrives, there's a lot of orientation. Now, if they're from here, like our current artist, it doesn't require a lot of orientation. But if they come from Japan, you really do have to show them where
there has to be some hand-holding culturally.
Certainly does.
But you know what? We've just recently started looking at it, I think, from a different perspective. Once you make the emotional, and now we're starting to make the physical tomorrow, starting to make the move out of state to a new chapter of our lives, you realize this has been 15 very successful years. And what we're trying to do, and Ray is trying to do, and will do with the board of directors and with the Community Foundation, is say, art's changing just like everything else is changing. The border out residency, let's look at the next 15 years and
how,
and we won't resent any of the changes. We'll look at it and feel real proud of it. It's sort of like being a grandparent or something.
We're giving it to the next generation. That is
exactly.
The hardest, most loving thing to do, though, is that letting go and accepting that mutations are natural.
And everything's changing. Publishing has changed.
Yes.
Everything's changing.
Yes.
Art is changing, too. So it's their turn.
It's been very rewarding watching that period of time for these artists, the time they spend at the residency, actually help them a rung up that ladder as artists. Many of them had work collected by the El Paso Museum of Art. One day I was in my studio working, and Adrian Esparza walks in with the director of the L.A. County Museum.
Whoa,
sweet. He had come to El Paso to see Adrian's work. Artists in L.A. can't get this guy to come to their studio in town, but he's here. And just watching their careers take that step based on the work they got to do. Danny Alvarez made a series of woodcut prints here that were recently shown at the Philadelphia Museum of Art in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And
that
the
body of work didn't exist except for the Border Art Residency.
And the opposite happens, too. It puts La Union and El Paso on the map because a lot of these people, they accept the residency. They don't have a clue. They fall in love with the desert Southwest. Mm-hmm. One of our residents from upstate New York, he came for a sabbatical, and he bought a house to retire in Las Cruces. Now, since then, he has, I believe, sold that house, but he now teaches at the University of Arizona because of his introduction to the Southwest.
Sure, the artists come here to they help pollinate because they take off to other communities carrying the El Paso pollen.
That's true. So
and
it's really
a two-way. We're talking about the mulberries, so that is only partly a metaphorical reference.
And many of our artists have taught classes at UTEP, so it's not just sitting out there making their art. They've actually met UTEP art students and participated with them. One of the Japanese women couldn't get a visa to actually work and teach at UTEP, but I got permission for her to make her steel sculpture at UTEP so that students had access to her every day and watch a professional artist
work. That kind of exchange, it defies words. You can't really nail it down with words, which is, again, part of what I appreciate so much about your efforts to do so. I wanted to mention that, Becky, you have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books published that I know of, and countless articles. Your blogs are fascinating. If a person wants to read about the arts in a way that you really can get it, which is part of the title, Getting It, A Guide to Understanding and Appreciating Art, your 1999 self-published book.
It was published by Houghton Mifflin.
Yes, in 2001, republished.
That's right.
Yes. So I can't cover everything you've done in your amazing careers, but of course, willieraparish.com is out there. BeckyHendrickWriting.com.
Google the name.
Just Google Becky Hendrick.
I have four websites.
There you go.
And some are very specialized, and probably the one that's out of date is the best.
It's
the most inclusive without just driving you crazy.
But I love the exploration of beliefs, of understandings. And
ask me what I'm working on now.
Well, come to think of it, what are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on a book, and it's called Genesis Revisited. It's a book that looks at the Old Testament book of Genesis and the multiple, there's more than one, creation stories in that. And then I'm updating them to correspond with archaeological and anthropological data, and then it expands to deal with Michelangelo and his images of God, because he used his baker as the model for God. So Mike's baker is part of this, and there will be an exhibition of the illustrations of this book, but I'm multitasking, and we're moving.
I know you're going to be distracted by the ocean, and I know you know color so well. I have seen your photographs posted everywhere. And so here, I want to ask the questions now about Puerto Peñasco, because I've had the pleasure of visiting your home here, and I saw the beautiful addition that Willie Ray built, and it has lots of plants, and it's a couple of stories tall, and it has light pouring in one side, and the other side has colored glass pouring in that catches the low evening light. And you've created some similar structure in your home in Puerto Peñasco. So talk to me about the color and the ocean, and how much of your heavy stuff have you managed to get down to Puerto Peñasco? Tell me the works.
Well, down in Puerto Peñasco, most of the work I've done has been more of an architectural nature. I've built a guest house from scratch down there, and I did a giant addition on the front of our house, pretty much double the size of the house down there in one room. The room itself is 18 feet tall and has the bottles, the glass bottles in the east and west walls, like the ones you've seen here.
He designed it in his brain, and I guess worked on it in his head for a long time. And then one day somebody delivered some steel, and I said, "What the heck?" He said, I didn't tell you. Oh, I decided to double the size of the house.
We were putting up 20-foot tall beams in front of the house, and she walks out, "What is this?"
You know what lets you get away with that? Is that you actually do it, Ray.
Well, here's the deal. Back in we had a friend die, and I wrote a piece that's in one of these, on one of my websites, a memorial piece. And in it, I describe heaven for different people. Oh. And Ray's heaven, I describe as being a construction project that, when finished, he looks out and there's a perfectly poured piece of cement for his next project. And since writing that, I wrote that about 5 years ago, maybe even longer, I have learned that there is an actual condition. It is a benign condition. I would like to say it's a positive condition with the unfortunate name of dementia concretia, which means a person who can't stop building. And Ray suffers from this. Well, Ray.
Hey, he can come suffer at my house if you like. There's some things I'd like done. Well, you guys deserve your own slice of heaven. Is there anything we haven't covered that you want folks to know here in El Paso?
I want to know that before we moved here, Ray and I, separately or together as adults, we married in our 30s. Before moving to El Paso, neither of us had lived any place longer than 3 years. And when we arrived here, we felt this was our true home.
Well, I suspect there will be no lack of people who will take you in for a few nights if you want to visit. In fact, I'm certain of it. My guests today have been Willie Ray Parrish and Becky Hendrick, who have left such a trail of amazing art here in El Paso. And this whole community is so much better for having had you here for a stretch. We really have all benefited so very much from your presence. To explore more about these two amazing people, you can visit willierayparish.com or just Google Becky Hendrick. All the best to you both, and you better not be gone too long. You come back, you hear?
Thanks, Monica.
We will.
We've loved it.